Not because I'm afraid of that, but for your sake. Maybe for my sake too. Who, over the past couple of weeks, has increased the amount of words? That could be from 0 to 5 or from 5 to 50. Amount of words or time spent in prayer giving God praise. Again, don't answer out loud or raise your hand. But that's what the second sentence in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, was all about. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, blessed meaning worthy of praise. So he's giving praise to the Father. And in so doing, just as was read a moment ago in Philippians, he's setting an example to be followed. Of course, then comes all of this rich teaching, truth, doctrine, theology. They're all talking about the same thing, right? About why the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of praise. Which then becomes the basis, the reason, the motivation for us to spend more words, more time giving God glory. So that was one of the main applications, that is one of the main applications in that second sentence in the letter in the original, verses 3 through 14. As we move on to only the next two verses this morning, I know, very unlike me, but I couldn't do more because there is so much there, particularly by way of what is often called application, that I didn't want to jam it together with everything that comes at the end of this chapter. But as we move on to the second two sentences, his prayers, in a sense, are continuing, or what he's been praying about or for continues, and this time it's on Thanksgiving. So as we move into now only the third sentence in the letter, one of the main applications is that we would include thanksgiving as part of our prayers when we pray. That one's actually not so hard for people, I've noticed over the years, myself included. Somehow it's easier to go to the Lord and thank him for things, which is a good thing. But may we first start out with bringing him glory by praising him, as is here, and for the greatest reason of all, who he is in both might, power, and mercy has been demonstrated in the coming of his Son. But what do we thank him for when we join in to Thanksgiving or partake of that part of prayer, or we do that in our prayers? Typically, you know, it's for things and stuff and even people. But what Paul is continually thanking the Lord for here is for the Christians themselves and their love for other Christians. So one of the main and obvious applications of verses 15 and 16 is, am I doing that? Absolutely, it's a wonderful thing that you pray for the needs and the issues and the things going on in one another's lives. And this isn't about stopping that. But what about taking a moment to thank God for them, that they too are one of his children and they love his children? That'll be the main application here. But along the way, as I break down these couple of verses, two verses, we'll find some more ways to be instructed and challenged that, again, I did not want to pass up or try to shove into one bullet point while covering all of these verses in this section. But before I read the word, join me in prayer. Father, thank you that we do have your word. Thank you indeed. That which reveals you, you have made known, preserved, and here we have it this morning. It reveals who you are, and you are indeed worthy of all glory. You are merciful and gracious, and you have made known your love in Jesus, your Son. And you seal your children as your own by your very Spirit. You have done that. Blessed be you, Lord God, Father of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior. As we continue to be in your word now, may you, merciful Father, grant us to understand. You, your ways, your will, that we would know you, trust you, and walk in your ways to your glory, to the blessing for the good of others around us and to our own. For that is your way. When you are glorified, good is lavished upon your people. So Father, bring this about in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, since we just have two verses, we might as well read the sentence before it. Join me in Ephesians chapter 1, starting back in verse 3 once again. Context is king. Without it, we make things up. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until possession of it, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. We don't need the bold, uninspired heading, but it says it, thanksgiving and prayer. And that's what we have here in verses 15 and 16. But it's based upon what came before it, that those who, for whom he is praying have believed. I want to break down these two verses once again, asking those basic Bible study questions that through the grace of God by a work of the Spirit will get you to what God meant when he spoke his word through, in this case, the pen of Paul. This is thanksgiving here. Paul's giving thanks, right? But who is being thanked? He said, duh. God. That's right. We know that from a verse we didn't read, verse 17, that the God, we also know it back from verse 3, blessed be the God. But take a moment to dwell on that and what that means. When Paul prays, he prays to God, the Father. There's the qualification in this passage, both in verse 3 and in verse 17. He prays to God, the Father, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where am I going with this? When we pray, Scripture, through the examples that are in it again and again, direct us to direct our prayers to God the Father, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not to Jesus. Not to the Holy Spirit. Though each of those persons of the Trinity are truly God and are involved in the salvation for which God the Father is worthy of praise, the whole previous section, prayers are to be directed to God the Father. You say, well, aren't there examples of people praying to Jesus? Well, since prayer is conversation, absolutely. When Stephen was being stoned in the book of Acts, he spoke to Jesus, not God the Father, but he was looking at him. The other prayers, including the one Jesus gave to the disciples, direct us, instruct us, and by example, show us that we're to pray to God the Father. I know we particularly like to tell children to pray to Jesus because, after all, Jesus said, "Let the children come to me." But how God has revealed himself and how we are to approach him is the standard, not our thoughts, not our feelings, or not our extrapolation of the truth about God. Well, since all three persons are truly God, what does it matter? What it matters is this is how God has revealed himself. And again, Christians, as we pray, we are to pray to God the Father. We're able to do so because of the willing sacrifice of God the Son, and enabled to pray by the ministry of God the Spirit. See Romans 8. Does this mean we have to jump up and yell, "Heretic!" You know what that is, right? Heretic, someone is wrong. When someone prays to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, not exactly. But do we want to approach God as he has enabled us and instructed us to? And if so, then when we pray, we're praying to God the Father. In this case, it's God the Father being thanked. One more thing that means also. Someone tells you they believe in God and they pray to God. They even thank God for things. And it's not the God of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not this God. It's no God at all. See, if you do not have the Son, you do not have the Father. You only can go to God the Father on the basis of the work of the Son and his perfect sacrifice. So these qualifications that are here that we might take for granted or blow right by actually are full of application for us. What am I supposed to do? Well, first off, as a Christian, though our faith is in Christ and the Spirit dwells in us, we pray to God the Father. And if someone you know doesn't accept the Son, but says they pray, and they pray to God, and they even give thanks to him, be concerned. They're not okay, because they're not talking to the one and the only true God. Now, another who. Who is thanks being given for? Well, the saints. The Christians. The very reason he's giving thanks is for this reason. What comes before that? Verse 13 in particular. When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed. And of course, he called them in chapter 1, verse 1, the saints. And part of what he is thankful for is their love towards all the saints. So the thanks is being given for the saints. What's another word, English word, for saint that is a word translated here from Greek? What's another word for that? That's an actual question you can answer out loud. Holy ones. When's the last time you looked left and looked right on a Sunday morning and thought, I'm sitting next to a holy one? If you heard the gospel, that is, that Jesus is actually not only a carpenter's son through marriage, but born of a virgin who lived a perfect life, died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead in the third day, has been ascended to the Father's right hand because he truly is the Son of God, the Son of David. And you believed in him. You thought, I am a holy one. You should, because that's biblical language. And behind language is a concept. The concept is one of holiness, which even by stating that word is implied. And back to that sentence before, in verse 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Some of you are going, why did you not pay attention to the period there? Because it's in the wrong place. Again, this is all one sentence, but holiness comes up there. Again, minor application in the main point here about prayer and giving thanks. Christians, those who have heard about Jesus and have actually believed in him, have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, and they themselves are holy ones. You say, I don't know who you're talking about. Do you know who I'm sitting next to? They're not very holy. Well, there's two aspects to the holy reality of the children of God. Because Jesus, the Lord and Savior of the holy ones, lived the perfect life, righteous, never any rebellion against the Father, that those who have faith in him receive his righteousness and are holy in him. And the Father looks at those children who are in the Beloved, and he sees spotless ones. But in the here and now, that positional reality is the basis for, the motivation for, the Christian to exert every ounce of effort every day, no days off from holiness, to be more like Christ. See? Follow the prepositions there, right? Follow the connections there. It is that positional, true, and actually real in Christ now, reality and identity for the Christian as a holy one, that is the basis for and the motivation for now living out a life that is more like Christ, more holy. That's biblical reality. Legalism says, I want that position before God, so I'm going to earn it by what I do. No. This is living out who you are. This comes up throughout Ephesians, the issue of how the Christian lives. But the biblical word here for Christians in this letter is holy ones. And that's for whom the thanks is being given. Why is thanks being given for them? Verse 15, quite simple, right? I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints. Faith has a Siamese sister. Her name is love. Or good works, which is summarized in love. You want to know if it's an apple tree? Then there should be apples on the tree. The apples that come out don't make the tree an apple tree. They express what the tree is. For those who have believed that Jesus is the great demonstration of the love of God, undeserved, unasked for, but freely given, the fruit is love. Please come on our evening services once a month and join us in 1 John, which says, you got no love, you got no Jesus. That's my paraphrase. I'll let Liam do a better job at taking you there. And I've said this before, I've dwelt on this word love before, and I have to again, because we use it all the time. And we don't use it how Scripture uses it. We don't even use this word love as Scripture uses it when it comes to people dear to us or the people we want to marry or the people we are married to. Just think about it. Well, they fell in love. Well, did it hurt? What came before that, a rock or a ledge? I mean, how come you fell into it? I can't help it. I love her. I love him. That is not the biblical word. That the way we use the word, even in our relationships with those we're attracted to and want to be married to or are married to, is really more like the way we use the word love when we're talking about, what's my example going to be? Chocolate, Haagen-Dazs, surfing, coffee, motorcycles, the sunset, you name it. It's something that brings pleasure to us and we want to possess it. Is that really how we use the word love when it comes to relationships? Yep, it is. We know it's how we use that word when we're talking about our morning coffee or enjoying a hobby or whatever it is. This is not that word. This is not a desire for something that you want to possess, that you want to have. But this is a decision to do that which brings ultimate good for, or is ultimate good for, the other person. Which, what is ultimately good for someone is synonymous with the will of God. That is what love means in Scripture. Here, those in Ephesus and the surrounding towns, this letter was going to be known to not just those who were in Ephesus proper. Paul was hearing not only that they threw a stick in the fire or walked an aisle or raised their hand or say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. But it was demonstrated in their lives as they sought to do that which was best for, good for, the other holy ones around them. This is why Paul is thanking God the Father. Their faith and love towards all the saints. All the saints, not just the ones you like. Not just the ones who are just like you. Who think the way you think and walk the way you walk and dress the way you dress and talk the way you talk. All. The ones that were just snatched out of slavery to stealing, murder, addiction, or just being a grumpy man who does his job, doesn't kick the dog, pays his bills. All. But again, it's for their actions displayed. Actions that seek the good of the other holy ones around them. So before this gives you instruction in prayer, this should give us a moment to pause. Am I giving those around me biblical reason to thank God for me? I like alliteration. So I simply pray, Lord God, make me a blessing and not a bane. You know what a bane is? Bad thing. Not good. I can do that really easily. Are we demonstrating God's love to all the other holy ones? But then when it comes to our actual prayers and time for thanksgiving and thinking about the other holy ones, this is grounds for giving thanks. And I have to confess, you have brought me to that point without even getting to this passage for a number of years now. As the activity around here has increased, and I don't just mean activity, busyness, and programs, though those things do exist, but programs like Good News Club that are born out of a concern for souls. The hearing and the caring about prayer requests and needs, the meeting of those needs, the bringing of meals. I have been seeing love towards all the saints and thanking God for that in you. That's why this thanks is being given. Here's another side question, right? Not side question, but why is this thanks being given to God the Father? If this thanks is about the holy ones and their selfless service for the good of the other holy ones around them, why is it being given to God the Father and not to them? Though it is being given to them in a side way, which we'll get to, it's being given to God the Father because if people have faith in Christ, born out in a selfless service of others, particularly the household of God, then that was a work of God. And so the thanks goes to him. You say, where's your chapter and verse on that one, Carl? Great question. In verses 7, 8, and 9, in him, in the beloved, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will. God's grace is that which he lavishes upon us, resulting in him making known to us. Let me say it more succinctly. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is a gift of God. That's why he's the one being thanked. But notice, he is writing this down and the hearers are hearing it. You say, why didn't you say reading it? Because they were hearing it. One letter came, it got read out loud. They heard it. We're reading it and hearing it right now. So though he is giving thanks to God the Father, and rightly so, because he is the one to whom all thanks should be given, the other holy ones that are hearing this, and any holy one today who hears this realizes what's going on here. There's a great source of encouragement going on right here. So not only does God instruct us, particularly here through Paul's example, to include thanksgiving to him for the holy ones around us who are demonstrating God's love to the holy ones around them, but tell them that you thank God for them. And not just because they too like what you like. I'm so glad we can go for a motorcycle ride together, bro. I'm so glad we can go surfing. I thank God for a surfing. But yeah, that's all fine. But I thank God for you, brother, for praying for me, for opening those doors, for teaching the word, for being with the youth, for cleaning things up, for keeping this. Oh, tell them. There's great encouragement there. Tell them. Say, I thank God for you and for the Christ I'm seeing in your life. Sadly, we're so much better at seeing where people aren't like Christ. And it's true. We all are. Works in progress, which means there needs to be some progress. And we see where that need is. But do we see where there's progress? Do we see where there is increased Christ-like living? Thank God for that, that he has brought that about in such and such person, and then communicate that to such and such person also. Because you know what that does? It spurs on more holy living. It encourages more living and thinking about that which is of eternal value. Someone once told me, my wife, that for every, even though it's true, critical or instructive type thing we say to our kids, we probably need to give anywhere between 10 and 100 positive affirmations. It's absolutely true. There is nothing so motivating as compliments and encouragement. But we do so this way not to build up pride and ego, but to spur the Holy One on to more holy living, eyes on Christ, and lives displaying him. I have an example of encouragement that has always stood out with me because of the stark contrast that took place. In high school, I was doing karate. And when I first started at this one place near my house, the guy who was teaching it was very encouraging. He was positive and spurred me on to keep coming and keep paying to go there. And he, from what I could see in others as well, because they don't see ourselves accurately, he was complimenting that which should be complimented and then also giving correction and instruction. Well, apparently, supposedly, I guess, he wasn't really an upstanding guy and it wasn't his place. So then the guy who owned that place and another place fired him and he took over. It wasn't very long after that that I quit. Because the guy was not very encouraging. He was grumpy, unhappy. I was having knee issues. I tore cartilage. I didn't come a couple times. And he took me to task in front of everyone one night because I didn't pay on time. I didn't pay on time because I wasn't there because my knee was swollen. So I quit. Right? Simple thing is encouraging that which can be encouraged and majoring on that. And I say that with great conviction. Majoring on that while not jettisoning, you know what I'm saying, that which needs to be corrected and instructed. We've got a letter here that includes that. But to tell holy ones where they're holy and thank God for their holiness. That's why Paul is sharing it with them. And when is he doing this? Verse 16. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Do not cease. Does that mean he is continually, with every breath, as he's walking around, always naming those who he could name, or generally speaking, naming these other holy ones in Ephesus and the area around there? No. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. In other words, when he prays for them, it always includes giving thanks to God the Father for them and for the demonstration of God's love in their life. So the simple, most obvious practical application here, as you go through Grace Church of Santa Rosa prayer request list and you come across names, before you make requests for them, thank God for them, their faith in Christ, and any evidence of true faith in Christ that you're seeing in them. And then when you have a chance, tell them you thank God for their faith in Christ and the evidence of that faith that you've been seeing. Many times people say after a sermon or about sermons, okay, well, what am I supposed to do? There you have it. I tend to major on the truth this is teaching about God and Jesus Christ, which is always there. As we tie this up, I take you back to whom the thanks is being given, God the Father. How is that possible? Jesus Christ, the Son, and his sacrifice. The very grace of God poured out through the work of Christ. The love of God demonstrated in the coming of Christ. And the ministry of the Spirit of God dwelling in us. The prayers are being given for those who have heard about Jesus and believe in him. You take Jesus out of it and you have a talking to the air and a wishful thinking. But when we pray, we get to go before the one who spoke heaven and earth into existence. And not the smallest detail in this life, molecule or unseen particle, nor the solar system out there is outside of not only his knowledge, but also it is not outside his power, and none of it is outside his care. And we can know this, we can go before him. We can go before him and thank him for those who are his because of what he determined before time began. And what Jesus brought about in time, and the Spirit has sealed up in the believer for all time. It does get back to Jesus. He is the Sunday school answer, but he is the reason we can pray to God the Father. And may those prayers include the giving him of thanks for his holy ones and their increased and abounding demonstration of Christ, of holiness. And let's tell them about it too. Join me in prayer. Indeed, blessed are you, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Peter's words, because of your mercy, by which you have caused us to be born again to a living hope. In Paul's words, because you have made us loved ones in your beloved and have sealed us for eternity as your loved ones by your Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for your holy ones here this morning, that you have granted faith. Father, may you grow it and grant it where it is not, to your glory. And I thank you, Father, for the increased love for others that has been apparent here in ways not so obvious and visible, and in ways more unseen behind the scenes. May you continue, Father, to work by your Spirit, that Christ would be believed upon and seen more so each day and as the day draws near. And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, the Messiah, Lord and Savior, by a work of your Spirit that we pray. Amen.